Sunday morning to give you a good inspiration and encouragement for the coming week and to help jumpstart your walk with God this week. This is also available on my podcast channel, Victorious Living with Bishop Ed Akers. Really creative title, right? But search it on Apple, Spotify, Google, or Amazon. It's on there. It'll be on there later today. And you can listen to it that way at your leisure. Rehear it again and again and again. I hope to give you some information that'll help you grow in your faith, go deeper with Christ, and your understanding of God and your purpose in life with Him in your life. And so I'm just blessed to be able to continue to do this. I hope it's a blessing to those who are able to take the time or whoever I connect with. God bless you for being a part of what we're doing here at Victorious Living International, Victorious Living Church. Of course, today is Palm Sunday, the day that we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ back into Jerusalem just days before he is to be crucified and then defeat death, hell, and the grave in the resurrection. We're entering what's often called Passion Week or Holy Week, a week to reflect and really kind of refocus our faith. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. Is the gate unlocked? That's the title of my teaching today, is the gate unlocked. As we celebrate this triumphal entry of Jesus Christ, we realize that he entered Jerusalem through the gate, the primary gate into the city. As he did that, a great crowd, of course, gathered around him, and they worshiped him, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And so there's some things I want to talk about in relationship to that and bring it to a practical application for you and I this week. Of course, Jesus entered the city to become the King of Kings. He already was the King of Kings, is the King of Kings, has been from the foundations of the world. And he was coming in to express that and to give his life as a ransom for sin, to take authority over the dominion that man had surrendered in Adam and Eve. Anyway, the word Hosanna comes up here, and that's a great word to look at first. Hosanna literally is the pronunciation somewhat of the ancient Hebrew. It was never translated over in most Bible translations. Hosanna is still a Hebrew word. And Hosanna means save, we pray. And it used to be a real word of distress with lots of emotion. But it also became known as an exclamation of happiness, an expression of joy that help had come. And so when Jesus entered the city, the people were in a state of slavery to Rome. They were under oppression. Even from their own leaders, and they were crying out for help, but they also were celebrating that help had arrived. And this is a great picture for us, that sometimes we need a lot of help. Matter of fact, we need help every day, but we can cry out to Christ Jesus, to the Lord, and say, "Hosanna, come help me, save me." That literally means save, I pray. That's what Hosanna literally means, as best we can translate it. Save, I pray, and with passion and with urgency. And then once we get to know Jesus Christ, we can say, "Hey, Hosanna, the one who saves has saved me, and I am saved." On that day, Jesus, of course, entered through the gate, and gates were very significant of authority, the city's authority. Oftentimes, the city leaders would meet at the gate. Oftentimes, things that were spoken as edicts or laws were posted at the gates of the city. The gate was a place to filter out what was coming into the city, to maybe stop somebody you didn't want to get out of the city, maybe a fugitive or somebody that was wanted for a crime or whatever. It was a place to collect taxes for the city, so it was a place of revenue. The gate was the entryway to most ancient cities. They were mostly walled off if they were a city of any size, and particularly Jerusalem was walled off. And you had to go through certain entry points. You had to pass through Roman centurions or Jewish militia and tax collectors. Commerce was happening outside and inside the gate. The gate was a very active, active place. And it's through this gate that Jesus enters. So obviously the gate was open to him. Jerusalem was open to him. And within a few days, they become closed to the idea of Jesus, of course. And why the change? We could talk about that for a minute, but when Jesus enters a city, when he entered a city there, he came in on a donkey, a small one, a young one. This was a fulfillment of a prophecy in the Old Testament, proving that he was the Messiah. Secondly, it speaks to us that Jesus came in meekness. In other words, he didn't come in with fanfare and natural shows of power. But when he got to the city, the first thing he did was he upset the trade system in the temple, the buying and selling of sacrificial animals. And when he did that, that upset the apple cart, that upset things. So Jesus showed early on when he entered the city that he came in meek, but he didn't come in weak. He came in to change the order of things. The whole thing that happened at the temple was not just about prayer. It was prayer. He said, my house will be a house of prayer. He wasn't going to build that house. That house wasn't his house that he was coming for. He was coming to build a house not made with stones, not made with hands. He was coming to house inside of us. And so he was upsetting the natural order of everything they were used to. This is what Jesus does when he comes into our lives. He upsets everything. He wants to rearrange it. He comes in by invitation. He doesn't force his way in, because this is also a proof to us theologically that man was given a free will to decide whether or not to accept God's offers or not. And since the city let him in, then Jesus began his ministry of cleansing and purging and upsetting the apple carts and making people angry because he was changing what people had heard and had said. And the way that they lived and conducted their lives was all changed. Psalm 24, 7 through 9 says, verse 7, open wide you gates, open up ancient doors, then the King of glory will come in. So my question to you as we go into Holy Week is, have you opened the gates of your life? Every one of them, because every part of your life is a gate. It has a gate in front of it. Every part of it, every part of your life is segmented with your authority over it, with your control, whether it's your emotions, your finances, your time, your family, your career. Every part of our life has a gate, and it's surrounded by what we have built around that system in our life. Gates are our thoughts, our will, our emotions. And this is where Jesus wants to come in. Now, Jesus, again, does not force his way into our lives, right? So Revelation 3:20 clarifies this. Jesus saying, behold, I stand at the door, and that word door can also mean gate or portal. I stand at the opening or the door, the gate, and knock. Now, we would think Almighty Sovereign God doesn't have to knock. He just comes in if he wants. We know Jesus went through a wall after he was resurrected, just appeared. Transcends all the natural capacities of us to hold him back. But when it comes to our will, comes to our life, comes to us becoming sons and daughters of Jesus Christ and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King, there are gates and doors, and Jesus will not force himself in to our gates. He will knock at the gate. He'll make the offer to come in. He's already done that. He said, whoever will may be saved. Whoever will might be saved. He wants all to be saved, but whoever will may come. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. I stand at the gate and I'm asking to come in. If anyone hears my voice and opens the gate, opens the portal, opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Another modern translation says, I will come in, have supper with him, and we will become friends. I stand at the door and I knock. I ring the doorbell. I'm making my presence known. I want to come in to your life. And then we will eat together. We will commune together, which was a sign of friendship and welcome, a welcoming gesture, what was called love feast in the Bible. It's where they became close friends, not just associates, at that dinner table. It's interesting that around the same time as Passover, and that was around a meal, God revealed who Jesus was going to be, his work, the Lamb of God, all of the things that are in the Seder, all point to the Messiah. God instituted a lot of things around a meal, a meal time, when everyone's sitting together, breaking bread, discussing, is a time when much communication can take place. And Jesus said, hey, if you open the door, I'll come in and I'll sit with you. I'll become your friend. I'll eat with you. Which now this means that Jesus is going to have something to say about what's on the menu of the suppers that we have in our life or the dinners or whatever. Anyway, the gate, Jesus enters to rule when he enters. He enters to restore divine order. So whenever he comes into a heart, a life, a room, a city, there are things that are outside the will of God that are happening, and Jesus Christ's presence will instantly demand that all that comes into order. This is where the conflict begins to happen. This is where we begin to lock the door back up to heaven. So, well, maybe I'll let you in, but you can't get in that room over there. You'll let him in one room, but you won't let him in the financial room. You won't let him in the room of your relationships. You won't let him in the room of your lust and perversions. You won't let him in these other rooms because they're all locked. But you'll let him in the main door, and you'll say, hey, I'm a Christian, but you won't let him in these other doors. So I got to ask you, are the doors of your life, every one of them, unlocked and open for Jesus just to pilfer through your house, pilfer through your life? This week is a good time to evaluate how open the doors of my life are. It's a good time to fast, pick up the Bible, not go into some romanticism about Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Jesus did a real work. He didn't do something just for a theatrical sake. He didn't do something so we could all mourn how hard he died for us, which is, you know, was a horrible death. But he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And this week is not a memorial to somebody who died. It is a remembrance of somebody who won a great victory despite being crucified. It's a good week to unlock every door of your life. To say, Lord, start on Monday. Lord, do you have my thoughts? Are all my thoughts yours to command and change? Lord, do you have my finances on Tuesday? Am I tithing? Am I giving? Is my money available to you? Lord, do you have my relationships? Am I treating my wife or my husband the way you would want them to be treated? And just evaluate your entire life this week. Take one day a week and focus on one area. And unlock the rooms that are locked, the private spaces. We don't mind showing people in our, you know, when people come to our homes, we usually don't mind showing them the kitchen or what we've got prepared, but don't go up to the bedroom, don't go to that extra room, don't go back in the closet. Definitely don't go into the hope chest that's locked. Don't go deep within under my bed and look, because that's where all the secrets are. But that's where Jesus is going to go. He's going to dust out the corners. He's going to go into every corner. He's going to do everything he can to get into every part of your life. And if the door's locked, he'll just knock. He'll just knock. And he'll keep knocking. Only for a while, though. The Bible says he'll not only strive with man forever. So is he free to come in? Is he free to change everything? Is he free to look everywhere he wants to look? That's the question. The Lord is strong and mighty in battle. That's who the King of Glory is. And when the gates are opened, that's who comes in. And if anything's standing against him in the area he walks in, he's going to defeat it and overcome it. Praise God. So as you allow him to have access to your every room of your life this week, unlock the doors. Say, Lord, you're welcome in. Lord, it's all yours. Matter of fact, the best thing we can do is the house of our life, the dwelling place of who we are, sign over the deed to Jesus. It's yours now, Lord. I'm just living here as you allow me to and how you want me to live here. That's the problem. We keep trying to maintain ownership of everything that's ours, our heart, our mind, our life. But God wants it for his. And Jesus comes in, not just to be our friend, but to be our Lord, our Savior, Master, Healer, Deliverer. Everything that he comes, everything he is, comes in when he comes in. So praise God for that. Well, praise the Lord. A couple things I want you to help me with, and I'm going to pray for you here before we get off here just in about a minute and a half. First of all, next week, we have two services here at Victorious Living Church for Easter Sunday, and I'll be going live at 7 a.m. next week for a sunrise version of my 9:45 live, 7 a.m. So when the sun's cracking, I'll be up. We used to always have sunrise services. We had them here for many years. When I was a child, they were a very important part of understanding, hey, this all belongs to Jesus from the sun up to the sundown. And so I'll have a sunrise special edition of this. I'll be live next week at 7 a.m. Also, if you're a VLI supporter, I have two things I want to ask you to do. First of all, if you took an envelope and you're from VLC, you took an envelope last week for Honduras. You have till April 14th. Let's get those gifts and offerings in. We need about $10,000 to finish our commitment to what's going to happen there in that large, vast, citywide crusade in Joro. And I'm excited to be a part of that. Secondly, we have a family in Pakistan that's being sheltered because of the abuse they were receiving. They were actually ran away from their brickyard, got in touch with our contacts there, and they're being sheltered in a secret place. We want to satisfy their debt. They've been in shelter for several months. Their lives are in danger. If we can get that debt satisfied, we can get them onto a new life away from this region where they are. They can't go back to the brickyard. They'll probably be abused, maybe even killed. And so our teams there are sheltering them. $1,400 is their debt, which is much lower than most. And so if you can help with that today, go to victoriouslivinginternational.com, look for Family Freedom, and just in the notes, put urgent need, and give whatever you can. Let's get them out. I promised our contacts there we would get that family out as soon as possible. Well, Father, thank you for each one that has listened today. Thank you, O God, that we can open the gates of our heart and our life to you, and you will come in, sup with us, have dinner with us, become our friend, rearrange our life so that it's pleasing to you and brings a blessing to our life. Thank you, Lord, for coming in and being willing to knock at the doors of my life until I hear you and respond. Bless our supporters, Victorious Living International. Bless the church this morning. Bless churches everywhere as we celebrate your triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Thank you, Lord, that you are still King of Kings, Lord of Lords, mighty God, and everlasting Father. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Hey, share this podcast or this live stream around with everyone that you know. Get more people to subscribe to our podcast. We're continuing to beef that up to try to bring you lots of good material in various ways. So God bless you. I appreciate your support. Have a great week. Remember these words from 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless.